You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Our passage today is from an episode near the end of Jesus' ministry that'll be familiar to a lot of you. It's the old separation of the sheep and goats routine, and it doesn't just come up out of the blue. Right before this, the scribes and Pharisees are denounced for their rejection of the Messiah and are warned of their ultimate punishment. Then come two stories, one of the faithful and unfaithful servants, and then the parable of the talents. In both of these cases, the issue is trust, and those who break faith with their trusts are punished when the master returns to judge their stewardship. So, after establishing faithfulness as the factor that determines whether one is shown mercy or is condemned, along comes today's passage, which focuses on acceptance and service. The determining factor here is whether good or evil has been done to the least of these. And who are they? Any and all who suffer the hardships listed in the text. Hunger, thirst, nakedness, sickness, homelessness, imprisonment. And I've said over and over again, note how belief doesn't play into the situation at all. It's action that counts, very specific action. What are you doing on behalf of and with those whom the culture has ignored, rejected, or left behind?
Our words of wisdom today are from Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. The Message version: Then the king will say to those on his right, "Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation, and here's why. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was homeless, and you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then those sheep are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?" Then the king will say, "I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
"We have a problem," posted conservative social media influencer Joey Monarino. "This is bad. Very bad. Chick-fil-A just hired a VP of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Are we going to have to boycott?" Then he added a link to the source of his panic, Chick-fil-A's corporate DEI page. "Chick-fil-A's corporate purpose is to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us and to have a positive influence on all who come into contact with Chick-fil-A. When we combine our unique backgrounds and experiences with a culture of belonging, we can discover new ways to strengthen the quality of care that we deliver to customers, to the communities we serve, and to the world." Shocking, yes? From the flurry of reactions in some faith circles, you'd think so. Our own Arizona-based Christian nationalist, Charlie Kirk, tweeted, "DEI is an inherently anti-Christian practice. Having a DEI director isn't just bad business. It's incompatible with being a conservative or a Christian company." Another Christian nationalist influencer, Lynn's Piper Loomis, exclaimed, "At Chick-fil-A, done with you. You bowed to another god, lowercase g. There is only one god. You cannot serve both. You chose who you want to serve. I choose the Lord." And perhaps most damning of all, Gen Z Turning Point USA contributor, also Arizona-based, Morgan, has declared, "Chick-fil-A isn't the Lord's chicken anymore. It's the woke chicken." You heard her right. Evidently, Jesus has had to give up Chick-fil-A. And what's the problem again? Evangelical social media users discovered that Chick-fil-A had betrayed their previously sterling Christian reputation and put a diversity, equity, and inclusion executive on their payroll. What? If anyone should be confused, it's me. My kids grew up knowing that they didn't even bother asking if they could go to Chick-fil-A because, in light of Chick-fil-A's corporate anti-LGBTQ policies, I had declared the place totally off limits, ever. But now the chicken seems to be in a different bucket. And Chick-fil-A isn't the only company that has faced the wrath of their former conservative fans. Just ask Bud Light, Target, and now Harley Davidson. And those are just some of the high-profile kerfuffles. Over the last year, countless other corporations, nonprofits, and educational institutions have been shamed by conservative culture warriors into dismantling their public-facing diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. And now, some conservatives think that they've got a winning strategy in disparaging Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris as a DEI hire. Because she's a woman and a racial minority, she can't possibly be qualified. Just like all those other non-white, non-straight, non-male people who've unfairly been given straight white male jobs. But let's just call this what it is. Another facet of white Christian nationalism masquerading as the authority on all things American. Fueling opposition to DEI policies is a blatant white supremacy, whining about government overreach, interfering with their pure and spotless meritocracy that, conveniently for them, favors straight white men. Never mind the overwhelming evidence for the systemic nature of discrimination and bias that continues to impact marginalized groups of every stripe. The adversaries of DEI have injected into the public consciousness a kind of uneasiness about the source of diversity, equity, and inclusion policies that make many folks suspicious that DEI is somehow unpatriotic. However, nothing could be more American, as activist Stacey Abrams has said. DEI isn't bad. We need to embrace and understand that diversity, equity, and inclusion are the core values of this country. Diversity is all people, equity means access to opportunity, and inclusion is a pathway for all Americans. Why should we be afraid of that? Indeed, why should we be afraid of access, opportunity, and a pathway to wholeness for all people? Especially when, as Christians, DEI is in our DNA, or it should be. When analyzed side by side, it's undeniable. Promoting fair treatment, representation, and opportunity for everyone, especially those from historically marginalized and underrepresented groups, aligns deeply with Jesus' radical teachings of love, justice, and inclusion. What is Jesus known for if not his equitable treatment of and compassion for all people. Our words of wisdom today are a profound expression of Jesus' teaching on just that. Compassion, social justice, and the moral imperative to care for the marginalized, which are the very aims of diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. And yet, despite Jesus even identifying himself with the marginalized and warning his followers, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me," some Christians are falling all over themselves trying to convince one another that DEI values are incompatible with Christian values. But honestly, if today's Jesus followers are serious about promoting justice, fostering community, and ensuring that all people experience the love and fairness that Jesus exemplified in his ministry, then advocating for diversity, equity, and inclusion is one of the most practical methods of demonstrating that commitment. Just look at the overlap between the values Jesus promoted and the principles of DEI. Inclusion of the marginalized. Jesus welcomed and uplifted marginalized folks like women, the poor, sick, and social outcasts, including the Samaritan woman, lepers, and tax collectors. DEI policies work to create environments where marginalized groups are welcomed, supported, and, perhaps most significantly, affirmed. Equality and fairness. In his advocacy for and companionship with women, Jesus' interactions with diverse ethnic and religious groups, and the examples in his parables, Jesus taught and lived out prioritizing the inherent worth and equality of all people. DEI efforts advocate for equal treatment and opportunities for everyone, regardless of race, gender, religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, or differences. Compassion and empathy. Jesus demonstrated empathy and compassion for others, caring for those in need, and even expanded the definition of the idea of neighbor and whom we are obliged to love, even our enemies. DEI efforts attempt to create supportive and compassionate environments where people can develop a deeper understanding of and empathy towards the experiences and challenges of others. Justice and advocacy. Jesus spoke out against injustices and systemic inequalities, challenged the status quo, and condemned the hypocrisy of the powerful. He not only advocated for the oppressed, but actively undermined the authority of those in power. DEI efforts work to expose systemic inequalities and advocate for policies and practices that promote social and economic justice. Community and belonging. Jesus emphasized the power of community and a sense of belonging, calling for expressions of radical generosity and mutual support among his followers. DEI aims to build communities where every individual feels a sense of belonging and can contribute meaningfully out of their unique experience. Respect for diversity. Jesus demonstrated his commitment to inclusivity by interacting with and showing respect to women, Gentiles, Samaritans, and others from diverse backgrounds and cultures, even if it meant breaking social and religious taboos. DEI is intentional about fostering diverse representation and participation, not simply for the sake of diversity, but because diverse perspectives and backgrounds strengthen communities and organizations. Empowerment and transformation. Jesus encouraged people to transform their lives and the lives of others through acts of love, service, and trust. DEI efforts seek to empower people to reach their full potential and, in so doing, contribute to healing and transforming society. Forgiveness and reconciliation. Jesus preached forgiveness, not primarily between the divine and humans, but by urging his followers to mend their everyday relationships and seek reconciliation with those from whom they were alienated. DEI encourages communities to address past harms and promotes practices that foster healing and reconciliation. Proclaiming good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, setting the oppressed free. Like Jesus, the principles of diversity, equity, and inclusion keep expanding the circle of the beloved to include the excluded, empower the powerless, give voice to the voiceless, and expand the definition of neighbor. DEI efforts are essentially a secular expression of what anyone reading the Gospels can see permeating Jesus' life and ministry. There's a cartoon you may have seen going around that illustrates the idea of justice and fairness that Jesus or any DEI proponent would recognize. To achieve equity, sometimes resources need to be distributed in ways that recognize that not everyone has the same opportunities or assets. That's not unfair. That's doing what's just. And look, it's not just Jesus' teaching and example that exemplifies the values of diversity, the importance of inclusion, and the obligation to pursue justice and reconciliation. The whole Bible is rife with expressions of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Love of neighbor, care for the immigrant, and justice for the marginalized and oppressed is everywhere you look. The Hebrew and Greek words for justice alone appear in Scripture more than 1,000 times. The writers and compilers of the Bible knew that diversity, equity, and inclusion are crucial aspects of building a peaceful and just society. That's why even the choice of what went into the Bible models the importance of DEI. Intentionally including diverse perspectives by diverse authors. There are multiple examples of whole books of the Bible that were included just to contradict one another. Why? To undermine the idolatry of certainty and promote continued conversation among people with different opinions. You might remember when one of the original biblical editors said, "I'm sick of foreigners, so let's put Esther in there so we can justify killing everybody who hates Jews." And somebody else on the committee piped up and said, "If you get Esther, then I get to put Jonah in to remind the Jews that God loves foreigners at least as much as God loves them." Or how about Jesus' ministry? Was it 3 years long or 1 year long? Well, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all say 1 year, but John says 3 years. Even going so far as to change up the whole order of Jesus' ministry to support his agenda. So if you take the Bible seriously, if you consider the teachings of Jesus to be worthy of observation, and if you value the safety and future of your children and grandchildren, then you should be supporting diversity, equity, and inclusion campaigns across the board. But alas, more often than not, our human nature has us sorting one another into categories of who's worthy and who's not, or who's acceptable and who's not. So out of fear of the other, we dismiss individuals and whole peoples as undeserving, contemptible, and eminently hateable. And sadly, over the last year, that fear has led to countless DEI professionals and departments being culled from institutions across the country, when for the sake of humanity's future, what we need are more, not fewer, DEI advocates. And if more people took the Bible seriously instead of listening to the purveyors of Christian nationalism, followers of Jesus would be the loudest promoters of DEI in the room. and wouldn't stand by quietly while two-bit politicians corrupt the noble and biblical principles of DEI as some sort of hateful dog whistle for their fearful and ill-informed base. Call it what you will. Commitment to diversity, justice, anti-oppression, anti-racism, advocating for the inherent worth of every person, or just basic human empathy. Diversity, equity, and inclusion are at the heart of what Jesus was on about. Jesus not only embraced it, he taught it and lived it every day. He was the original chief DEI officer. You might even say that Jesus DEI'd for us. Look, I get it. A lot of people are afraid. Afraid of people that don't look like them, talk like them, or act like them. We're seduced by the comfort of our own tribe of people. And plenty of ne'er-do-well preachers and grievance-based politicians are happy to aggravate our current situation by preaching fear and mistrust. But Jesus declares a new set of values, a new vision for the world that prioritizes inclusiveness, humility, and following in a way of life that challenges us to widen our circle of concern to take in all of humanity. And I don't care if it's for the poor, the marginalized, women, racial minorities, LGBTQ plus folks, the disadvantaged, or anyone who is excluded. I agree with Sister Joan Chittister, who says that we have to offer more than simply a handout. We need to feel the pain of those whose pain is not being registered and be a voice for those who aren't being heard by society. And we must be aware not simply of the pain, but of why the hurting hurts. And then we must set out not simply to comfort or care for them, but to do something to cure the causes as well as the symptoms. That's what it's all about. That's what DEI is all about. Living out our daily lives, resisting the urge to give in to the threats of white Christian nationalists, evangelicals, and Bud Light swilling, Chick-fil-A chomping, Harley riding reactionaries who insist that being an American and a Christian include the values of uniformity and exclusion. Just the opposite. As followers of Jesus, we are expected to call out those who would betray what is essentially one of Jesus' core commitments, promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion. After all, he DEI'd for us and asked us to do the same for others. Be well. Don't forget, if you liked what you heard today, buy me a coffee. The link's in the description.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.wepuTloveFirst.org.